not anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real time for your 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Station props outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Price Gouging Oil Company CEO.
Mr. Price Gouging Oil Company CEO.
You say it's because of supply. You say it's because of government regulation. You say it's not your fault. But we know the truth, Mr. Price Gouging Oil Company CEO.
And the truth will set you free.
It's simply because you're nothing but a greedy son of a... So next time you sell one of your children, you know, the cute blonde one, for a gallon of gas, be thankful you're not the poor sap who merely turned a scant $12 billion profit last quarter. Mr. Price Gouging Oil Company CEO, a real American hero.
Price Gouging Oil Company CEO.
I hope your private jet crashes into your refinery, dirtbag.
Ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, May 4th. We're live back in the studio.
And stuff. No, I'm just
You ready to party?
Man, I am ready. Life has been a party lately.
Really?
Life's a party.
What is that all about?
Because I've been on my free little trial on my dating service.
If I didn't know you better, I'd think you got laid. But
No. I did lay down last night and slept very well.
Yeah?
Is that sexy enough for you?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Not sexy, no.
No,
not interesting either.
No, I just laid there and slept, probably tossed a bit. I think my sheet did come off.
Really?
Yeah, my sheet came right off there. Just came off.
Did you manage to take off your clothes or did you sleep in your clothes?
I actually slept in a nightgown last night.
Mm.
It's really a dress, but I've turned it into a nightgown. So no, it's not your typical.
You're correct,
for all the man, I'm slurring today. For all of those out there that care, which if you do, I think you need to get a life. But anyway.
Yeah.
I went on a great date last week. Tell me how cool this is, okay?
Okay.
Great, cool guy. Okay. Guess where our date was?
Duh. I don't know. I mean, you're asking me get out of like 1,000 places or out of 10,000 places?
More of like a subject, something to do.
Something to do. Church.
No, you dork. No, we went to the Chelsea Handler stand-up comedy show. She's touring right now, and she was in town at the City Walk doing that.
And you asked me, guess what? Like I was supposed to know that? I never even heard of the place.
You know what? Anyway, you know Chelsea Handler, right?
No.
You don't know Chelsea Handler?
No.
Give her the Dark Ages. Hello.
Yeah.
She's on every night on the E Channel, and it's
yeah. That's what I figured. TV. I don't watch TV, so why I don't know. What does she do on the E Channel?
She's got a talk show where they basically make fun of pop culture, and she's a comedian with a panel of other comedians. And anyway, that night was her stand-up show. So it was great. It was over at the amphitheater. The amphitheater and the Universal City Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, it was really cool to be there, and it just really resonated with my spirit because I know I'm made for this stuff. No, I'm serious. It's like when you're a little girl.
Made for what stuff?
Performing. And
I see.
But I want to do it in a way that is very funny, but obviously funny and entertaining is the number one thing. Mm-hmm. You got at least get that. But just to inspire people and love people. I think it's a good way to love people.
Yeah.
And I mean
make them laugh.
Yeah, because think about when you leave and you feel refreshed, and it's been proven that laughter is physical healing for your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really can refresh your body.
Right.
And I just think that, like, what a gift to give people, not just laughter, but inspiration and encouragement. And I know I'm starting to sound like a after-school kind of Hallmark made-for-TV movie. But no, it did, it just resonated in my heart. Like, oh, I just really can't wait to be, like, a crazy lady on stage with a bunch of people on this big, like, corporate laughing going on as a community.
So you really admired her, and you wanted to...
She's got a different style, but I really respect the fact that she's, like, she's a strong woman. She's doing her thing. She's beautiful. She's very, very pretty. Yeah, I just, there's a lot of things I like about her. She's not my favorite comic or anything, but she's definitely good at what she does. And she's got her little, her shtick, which is, you know, she's kind of sassy. She's super sassy. She just lets it all hang out. But I don't know. She's funny, though. She was really funny. She's talking about when she's on her show and she's got all these, like, you know, this is her thing. This is her comedian shtick. I mean, she seems like she's somebody that's very grounded, especially if you're a comic and I think you're at that level, you probably have to be pretty grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about how, like, she'll get, you know, calls in from different associations. Like, the producers will be like, Chelsea, you have to give, like, a, you need to go give an apology to the Asian Association of blah, 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 because you said they were good at math. And she's like, are you freaking kidding me? She's like, nobody's getting an apology. She goes, that was a compliment.
Yeah.
She's like, I gave you a compliment. She's like, I am a ridiculous person, and anybody that takes me serious is an a-hole. She's just funny. She's just really funny. She's a good girl. So
okay.
I had a good time. But for a first date, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Major points to a guy that does that.
I guess. Oh, so that was his idea to take you
there? Last minute, he got these awesome tickets, and he's like, hey, you want to go? I was like, yes, I do.
I see.
What a fun date, though, huh?
Yeah. So where did you meet him?
It's one of my online...
Oh, it's your online friends.
Yeah, my online friends. Whatever. I'm being honest about it. Come on, it's 2010.
Yeah. Well, you said you never find anybody there.
Well, I've never really found, like, the match, but I've definitely met some really cool people.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And again, I mean, it's fun to go out and meet new people and have...
So this was a Christian guy or just pretending to be one?
No, he's a real one.
Really?
In the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Meaning, like, yeah, like, you know, you could tell when you're with somebody in their heart and their spirit, like, if there's a peace about them and...
Right. So you had a lot of spiritual talk and stuff?
It's a mix of everything.
Yeah.
But it is nice to kind of, like, go out with a dude that you can have those conversations with.
So this was kind of a blind date. I mean, you never met before, right?
Yeah.
But you obviously have talked on the phone for a while, right?
Not really.
No? So you just went on a date, just texting guy and instant messaging?
It was like the internet thing, and then it was like follow up with a couple phone calls, make sure he doesn't sound gay, because a lot of guys sound gay. I'm serious, a lot of guys sound gay. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I'm not that picky. Well, maybe
you mean
I am.
A straight guy that sounds gay?
Yeah,
really?
I can't do that.
There's a lot of guys like that.
I went out with there's a couple of them. Yeah, I went out with one guy one time, and I should just listen to my instinct. He was really attractive, really good looking guy.
Then he's probably gay.
And,
you know, I mean, if he talks gay, then he's probably gay.
Well, I don't know. What about the metrosexual effeminate man, which I can't do either.
I still don't think they should talk like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I went on a date. This is like a while back. I went on a date with this guy, and we're sitting there, and he's looking at me, and he got me like a big thing of roses, and it was just awkward. And he's staring at me, and I'm like, oh shit. And he's like, so. I was like, hey. I was like, so do you like to go dance or anything? And he's like, what do you think? And everything was like, yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe you should check out my music.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, he's like, what do you think? I'm like, I think you're gay is what I think.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I was like, you're in the closet, which is cool. Or maybe you're, you know, you need to date like a manly woman. I don't know what the combination is that he needs.
Uh-huh.
But I was sitting there going, I can't sit through a whole meal. So I didn't have a meal, I just had a drink. But I was like, I can't sit here and pretend that you're attracted. He's like trying to play that he's attracted to me. I'm like, maybe. And he really, really wanted to hook it up. Like he was, and I was like, why are you even liking me right now? You shouldn't even like me.
Yeah.
This is weird, you know, because I'm pretty assertive and I'm very, very, you know, I've got a leadership quality about myself. And when I'm with a man that's very passive.
Right.
It just doesn't work. I need to be with somebody that's very knows themselves. And
right. Now, so this guy, you saw his picture on the site, right?
The gay guy?
No, the guy that you were dating.
That I went out with? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And did he look anything like his picture?
He looked exactly like his picture.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't really know if it's a love connect, but I had a great time, and we'll see, you know. Some stuff is different. Some stuff is instant. Some stuff is like a slow burn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some stuff is you kind of fall for other parts of them, and then the other stuff comes, you know?
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like boom, 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 you know? And then it lasts 2 weeks and it's over.
Yeah.
I was, because my last boyfriend that I was dating, I mean, he's totally hot to trot.
Uh-huh.
Super hot. And that part was there, and he has a very great personality. So the personality and the physical was there, but the maturity and like the spiritual stuff wasn't that quite there, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I just can't. And I started feeling, you know, really, I feel like dating is, can be good because you learn about what you're looking for and who you are.
Right.
I think it can be good. And what I've been learning is that, I think I'd rather definitely be with, I mean, this is going to sound like a no brainer for some people, but I'm just now realizing I definitely would rather be with a guy that treats me super, super well.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as attractive or doesn't have the same kind of, I don't know, it factor.
Right.
Than being with a guy that, oh my gosh, it's so there, but yet he just isn't mature enough. He doesn't have the wherewithal to really, you know,
mm-hmm.
take care of a woman. And I don't mean so much like, oh, money wise, but I mean just his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very different when you go out on a date and you feel like that person's really taking you in and they're really honoring you and they're excited that you're there and they're making it about you.
Right.
Like, that's very sweet.
Right.
And some guys, it's kind of like they're like puppies still. They're like boys.
Yeah.
They're not really being men.
I see.
You know, okay. They're fun. They're talented and they're like, there's hotness there.
Yeah.
There's not that feeling of like.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, looks usually is a good thing in the beginning, you know,
yeah.
but then you have to, you're stuck with the rest of the person, you know.
And that's for damn sure, huh?
Yeah. And you've got to make sure that you're compatible in that way.
Yeah.
You know,
so I'm kind of learning that because I think that I've always been with, not always, but I've gone out with a lot of guys that are like, especially in LA, very talented people. And I think when you're in the arts, it's easy to have like a talent crush.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go out with somebody who's a great artist and you're an artist and you look up to them, or they're a great comedian or a musician, or they're just, their personality really jives with yours, and then you kind of overlook, because it seems like such a strong connection because it's so unique.
Right.
And then you kind of overlook the other stuff and it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but it's not good to overlook the other stuff.
It's not, no. But this has been really fun these last couple of weeks because it's like, you know, it's kind of a refreshing reminder.
Yeah. So is there another date in the works with this one?
Oh, I don't know. I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd definitely go out with him again, but I'm not sure. Like I said, it's a slow burn, so it's kind of like just, you know, seeing.
Well, would you initiate the call? And?
Well, I actually did see him again because I was in Orange County yesterday. That's another story. We're going to get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in Orange County yesterday, and he lives in the OC, so I was driving back, and I was like, hey. And Sarah, my roommate, was with me. I was like, hey, we're right by you. And he's like, oh, come over. And so we had a glass of wine and we had cupcakes because we brought cupcakes. And we hung out and chatted. And he's a super cool guy.
Right.
Yeah. So it was like kind of a drop-in thing, which it was not really a date. But
yeah.
I like people that are mellow like that.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I got dates lined up all week. Stop.
How does that happen?
It's just line it up.
Yeah, where are you meeting all these people?
They're
all from the website?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's why. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you go online, there's a big selection, you know?
Well, it's, you know, I don't know how all of them are winners. I mean, we're going to just have, you know, I'm not doing like full-blown like 3-hour meal, 5-hour meal dates with these people. It's more like meeting and hanging
out.
Right,
yeah.
You know, you don't really want to commit a whole evening.
Yeah, it's crazy to go on the first date you don't know the person and spend a lot of money on dinner, you know?
If you're not feeling it, it's not just
about feeling it. It's just about, like, let's say you had to pay for dinner for each one of these
dates.
Wouldn't
be happening right now.
No, you see, that's what I'm saying. So for a guy, it's hard to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why the first time should be coffee or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you don't like each other, there's no commitment.
But what about, like, if you feel like there's a connect, why not just go and have a drink or two? Because I think
yeah, you can do that afterwards, you
after
know?
After the coffee?
Or even drinks. No, I mean, the
drinks
are fine
that bad.
As opposed to coffee.
I mean,
yeah.
I can drink a lot anyway. I'm not going to, like, drink the man.
Yeah, but you don't go out to dinner and stuck with someone there for 2 hours if you can't stand them. You know?
Yeah. No, I
agree.
It's
expensive too, you know. I mean, dinner $60,
$70. I wonder how it works for guys with that, you know, that are dating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're doing what I'm suggesting here, because otherwise,
pre-screen these girls.
Not really, but you know, I mean, don't go out and don't go all out on the first date. You know, you got to make sure you like the person. There's just so many things that can go wrong, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't really make those executive decisions because I'm more like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of feel more comfortable a little bit on the casual side the first date.
Yeah.
Because I don't want a forced romantic feeling.
Yeah, and you feel kind of obligated, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to have to sit there and be like, the candlelight's in my eyes and...
Yeah.
But I want that. I just want to make sure I want that with that person.
Uh-huh.
But no, I like the drink thing. I think the coffee thing is a little too loserish, to be honest.
Really?
Well, because here's the thing. Uh-huh. As a woman, I kind of want to see that the guy's putting forth a little bit of freaking effort.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean like pull out the red carpet. I agree with you. We don't need to do like a dinner forever. But it's almost like kind of setting the mood and giving it an opportunity to have a little bit of that flirty fun. Mm-hmm. And I feel like coffee is a little too much like an interview. And you can just as easily leave if you're like at a restaurant or not a restaurant, but like a bar or something and just be like, okay.
Right.
And I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, a lounge and have a drink and be like, okay, well, great. You know, it doesn't have to be, it isn't, you know, I just think it's a little more of a romantic.
Yeah. You see, I don't think I'd want to meet a woman when she's drinking, you know, I mean, if she loses it or whatever.
Oh, like, well, I mean, you don't want to be with it. Well, actually, it's a good little test because.
It is, but
she's,
you know,
she's a lush. I mean, what's one glass of wine is not going to make you.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think coffee
Some people aren't into drinking either.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is doing this Christian thing. You know, there's all different kinds of Christians out there, just like all different kinds of people. And everybody's got different theological views. And you don't know what their barometer is for what, you know, just like in the Jewish community. Like, some people are okay with this. Some people don't practice that kind of thing.
Right.
Or they don't believe that way. So, it's kind of like that. I'm always trying to feel out like, okay, where are people with the drinking? Like, do people like alcohol? Do they not? Do they find it offensive? And I've met a couple guys that are like not into it, which is fine. It's not a deal breaker for me. But I think I want to be with a drinking Christian. I want to be with a nice little lush of a Christian. I'm just playing. No, I like somebody that can enjoy wine. Wine is great.
Yeah.
It's not like I have to have it, but it's just celebratory. It's fun.
Yeah, so you like the mood of a bar or a club better, obviously.
Not necessarily
a club,
but I think more like a restaurant or like a like a restaurant bar, that kind of thing.
Right. But you can understand if they don't take you out to dinner the first
Yeah, date, I mean, I'm not like going out with them.
I mean, if it's if he dates on a regular basis, man, there's no way. You can go out several times a week spending 60, 70, 80 bucks on dinner. And
lucky for most people don't know this, but I'm way low maintenance. So when it comes to stuff like that, it's all about connection. I mean, I don't have to have anything super fancy.
Right.
I'm not that kind of girl that's like, oh.
You don't get impressed by those things.
Well, it's not that I don't get impressed. It's just it's not necessary. It's not going to make you more funny. It's not going to make you have a better heart. It's not going to make you have a good personality. It's not going to make you better looking. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I think wealthy men have to understand is that they have to measure up on all the other levels too.
Right.
Like the money thing is awesome. It's like icing on the cake, but it doesn't make up for the other stuff.
Right.
It doesn't. And I think there's an entitlement that guys have with money.
Although, you know, you'd be amazed at some women that like the money, you know, they like the money and they don't.
Well, it's
need
LA.
Any
I mean, I definitely, yeah. I mean, and I think that those guys that like feel entitled for a certain kind of woman because they are wealthy.
Yeah.
They're going to attract that kind of woman.
They want
a woman that's brainless, that just shows up and bounces around and is like,
yeah.
And
they find them too, you know, because these women are looking for money.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, who's using who. It's kind of like
it's like a business exchange.
Exactly. You know? They're not going to, I mean, a guy that thinks he deserves something because he works all the time and he's, you know, wealthy, he'll find that girl that, I mean, it won't be hard in this town.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not
a lot
that.
Of gold diggers here.
I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
So I got a comedy show tonight.
What?
I posted on my Facebook. I got a comedy show. It's
really?
San Diego though.
San Diego. So you get to drive all the way there.
I'm driving, carpooling with a friend, and Byron Bowers, who was on the show. It's his show.
Right.
So he hooked me up and put me in a show. Hey,
really?
Yeah.
That's
isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really
excited.
Do they
videotape that stuff?
I'm going to try to, my friend, I think has a flip. So I think we're going to do it like that.
Yeah. You should do that. So and put it on YouTube or something.
Yeah. I have some stuff. No, my stuff is dated, but I have a lot of stuff that I've actually footage I haven't edited. So I'll be putting that together soon. On my computer and up, you know, uploading it and doing kind of a collage of stuff. But
Excuse me, Miss Computers.
Well, not like you. Do you know how to do all that stuff?
Of course, yeah.
Do you know how to edit stuff?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I really want you to do it for me, please.
Do you really think I have the time for that kind of stuff?
No, but you know, I'm your friend and I can like...
I'll teach you how to do it, then you do it yourself.
Can you? That's going to take longer. You know it's going to take longer to teach you. Just do the damn thing.
Get yourself a manual or something and learn.
No.
They have pretty easy tools to do that right now, you know?
Easy for who, Sam?
For you.
Whatever.
You're computer savvy, right?
No, I've got I mean, I know how to turn it on. I know how to get on Facebook. I know how to do some job searching pretty well. I know how to post a resume. What else?
Right.
I know how to post pictures.
But you don't know how to edit photos and things like that. Right?
I could do some editing on photos.
Can you?
Very basic stuff. Yeah. And then, yeah, that's about it. So,
Yeah, you can do it. No problem. Just take some time and learn how to do it. You know, there's books all over the place and, you know, get something like Adobe Elements.
I mean, why do I have a host of a show who's a friend of mine that knows this shit who's pointing me to a book? That's the point of all of us knowing different things. Because if there's stuff you need to know one day that's locked inside me and you're like, oh, I'm not going to be like, hey, just go take voice lessons. Or, you know, hey, why don't you, you know, just, you know, go back to school or something.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's like that saying about... teach a man how to fish, you know?
Okay, well, fine. Okay. Well, like, help walk me through it. So.
You're funny. In a few minutes, we're going to have an interview with an author. We're going to talk about marketing your business online. I thought it was pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, I want to hear it.
So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
So they caught the suspect of the Times Square thing.
Really?
You know, the bomb plot?
Yeah, so what exactly went down with that?
They found a van, you know, full of explosives and flammable material. And I guess they had video, you know, because they have cameras on the streets there and stuff, you know, Times Square.
Uh-huh.
And somehow I guess they started, you know, following his tracks and everything. And they caught him getting ready. He was on the plane already on his way to Pakistan. And they got on the plane, pulled him out, and we'll see what's going to happen. Very interesting stuff, you know. And you know.
Was it like a an Al Qaeda type thing, or?
We don't know yet. We don't really know, but he's obviously a Muslim, and there's a picture of him. He's like, he looks to me like in his 30s or something, you know.
Mm.
And. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to find out what's going on. Can you imagine if that thing went off?
Mm.
That, you know, and that's one thing that occurred to us when we were in New York last month, is that how many cops are there, you know, walking around and stuff. So
there's a lot.
Yeah, so I would imagine they really protect that area.
You know, I heard, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name right now?
I don't know.
Come
Who
on.
The hell are you talking
7
about?
7 a.m. here on the show.
Oh, TJ.
TJ, the crazy world of TJ. You guys got to tune
TJ
in.
TJ McCormick.
He's really funny and very, very crazy. But I heard him one day through, he's in this studio and I'm out in the lobby, and I heard him all the way in the lobby yelling. Yeah. And I was like, what's this guy yelling about? He's like, there's no cops in Los Angeles. You can't swing a dead cat in New York without hitting 10 cops.
Yeah.
I was laughing my ass off.
That's
so hard.
That's true, though.
But he was just saying how there's just no cops in L.A.
Yeah.
Versus New York, there's just so many freaking cops.
Yeah. It's because, you know, over there you have more people walking the streets and stuff, you know. So here the cops are in their cars more.
That's interesting.
But they had cops on foot there.
Mm.
And they were checking it out, and at first I was wondering, because I couldn't see many cops there, you know? But then you realize there's like a police station, like right there in the middle of this whole thing of Times Square.
Wow.
Yeah. So who knows what would have happened, man? But it's getting scary to live in New York, you know? Everybody's targeting New York.
What do you think about L.A.?
I don't know. That's going to be next. All right, we're going to call...
Anyway, it's beautiful weather.
We're going to be calling Peggy McCall. She wrote a book called Viral Explosions, Proven Techniques to Expand, Explode, or Ignite Your Business or Brand Online. So she's going to tell us all about, you know, promoting, how you can make money online, and that sounds pretty interesting to me. So let's check it out.
Hi, this is Peggy.
Peggy, good morning. This is Sam and Kara calling you from L.A.
Hi, Peggy.
How you doing?
Good morning, Sam and Kara.
How you doing?
Wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Great. Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
In Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, so you're not even in this country. You're in another country.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I love the Canadians.
Is it still cold up there, or is it getting warm now?
You're funny.
Yeah.
It's beautiful today. It's in the 70s. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful, sunny day.
Really wonderful. Have you lived there all your life?
Lived in Toronto, and I was out west in Vancouver. I was in Montreal, but I've been in this region 18 years.
Wow. Yeah. And what, is this your favorite region out of Canada?
No, it's too cold here.
Yeah.
Vancouver is very beautiful. I love Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver is amazing. It really is an amazing place.
It is amazing.
Absolutely. So, well, this is cool. So you wrote the book Viral Explosions, and these are ways to expand, explode, and ignite your business or brand online. How did this book come about for you?
Well, it came about when I had self-published the book, printed 3,000 copies of the hardcover edition of this book, and had them sitting in my dining room, and was having a real challenge paying my bills, and assumed that if you write a great book, the buyers will come. Well, that was not my experience.
Mm.
And I thought, well, you know what? I need to get my books into bookstores. Got them into bookstores, still not selling. And then I thought, you know what? I need to figure out a way to market this book and do it with the internet, because the internet is expanding and growing and reaching people all over the world, because I didn't want to be a mom that was vacant from her son's life. I wanted to be here for my son and be successful marketing my book. So I discovered the internet. Well, not discovered the internet, but I discovered how to market effectively on the internet, and I started marketing my book, and within a 48-hour period of time, I sold out my entire stock in my dining room and sold books into 26 countries in the world.
48 hours.
That's
wow.
So amazing. I mean, not that it's new to know about the internet, but to really harness it is kind of, I think, what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kara, because, you know, if we look at the internet, it's always growing. And when we see the World Wide Web opened up in the early 90s, the numbers, like the growth, it's just continual increase. It doesn't decrease, and it has not decreased. I don't think in our lifetime we're really going to see a decrease. And so, yeah, sure, there are a lot of people, 1.8 billion people online, but how can we use this as a tool to not only reach these people, but to effectively deliver what we have of value.
Right.
And it's not about putting a dollar in your pocket. I don't believe that's what it is, although there's nothing wrong with putting a dollar in your pocket.
Yeah.
But really, you know, for an author, an expert, entrepreneur, a business person, really what we want to do is we want to make a difference, and now we can reach people no matter where they are. I mean, here I am in this small town just outside of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and my books are now in 15 languages. They're sold all over. I've been on the New York Times bestseller list.
Wow.
How did I do this? Internet marketing. You know,
wow.
by really learning how to effectively market.
Right. That's very interesting. So what's a viral explosion? I mean, it's a great title, but most people don't understand. I didn't understand this until I started reading the book.
Yes, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a medical thing that's spreading virally.
Get that internet virus off me. Just freaking give me some cream. Give me some ointment. I need some ointment.
That's right. Well, you get ointment with the book. It comes with a tube. Just kidding. Okay, so viral marketing is really marketing using the internet that spreads a message rapidly. And an explosion is where that rapid message is spread using the internet, but it's yielding results. It's really looking for specific results. I mean, there are things that have spread on the internet that weren't specifically looking for a result, but if you understand how you can use it to generate business, generate sales, make a book a bestseller, you know, create a following, then, you know, it can be an effective tool.
Yeah. And you put together an entire program that you say if we follow the steps and have enough passion about this, this is going to work for us as well.
Yeah, I made a 100% money-back guarantee. I put it on my website, viralexplosions.com/book, that basically says, you buy my book, you do what I say, you know, because
right.
I teach people what I do. I mean,
right.
This is really what I've done to generate.
And guess what? I got your book right here. So, you know, everybody check in 48 hours, because shit's going down is what I'm saying. It's going down. 48 hours. I'm gonna be rocking an Escalade. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
I can see it now, Kara.
Yeah, watch out.
There you go.
Out.
You see, she's already excited about this. You know, so I guess, you know, when they talk about viral marketing and stuff, it's about, I guess, how quickly you can spread the word on the internet, you know, social networks, email blasts, things like that.
Yeah.
How do you build, like, you know, a following like this where you can access so many people?
Yeah, the thing to keep in mind is it does take time. You know, it's not a snap my fingers overnight success. It does take time, and it takes effort. You know, it's like with anything, with anyone's career, there's definitely been an investment of time and energy and sometimes some blood, some sweat, and some tears.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
Hopefully less blood, but, you know, there's definitely sweat.
Right.
And there's sometimes tears. I mean, I've had tears myself, you know, building it up. So really what you have to understand, I say to people, answer three questions. One, what's the need that's out in the marketplace? Two, are you the person that can fulfill it or deliver it or, you know, be an expert on it? Three, if you want to make money, the third question is, are people willing to pay for it? You see, not everybody's out there to create a viral explosion to make money. Sometimes it's just to get visibility. Okay. But if you're a business person and you're not in business to make money, you'll quickly be out of business.
Right.
So, I mean, there's different reasons for people doing it, but you've got to really, you know, think first, you know, put some thought into what's really required, and then start to get out there and build relationships with people. That's what the internet is. That's what social media is.
Yeah.
It's building relationships with others.
And you know, a lot of businesses have really caught on to that now Facebook is not just for, you know, a bunch of 20-something people getting together. It's now like so many. That's like now the media format for a lot of businesses.
Right.
When they've
You're
got
right.
it's there's like so many different ways to work Facebook and Twitter, where people actually do their marketing and they do their job postings and they do all this current information and they connect. Yeah, so it's really interesting that even businesses that have really heavily tapped into the social media without it even being their business isn't even a social media business. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely true. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being real out there, too. Like, you know, and that's what I talk about in viral explosions is that let people know who you are. You're a human being. Like, I was telling someone yesterday, when my mom was dying, like, my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer, and, you know, it was a very difficult time for her. And, you know, it was a tough time for the family, too. I mean, we really were with her. You know, we want to invest quality time with her. And I had so many people responding to me. You know, when I let people know, this is what's going on in my life. I wasn't selling anything or flogging anything or, you know, promoting a book. I was just talking about, this is what's going on in my life. So if you're not seeing as many newsletters or not seeing as many blog posts, whatever, this is why. And I had so much response to that by people saying, wow, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, my prayers are with you. And people really connect with other people. We're all human beings with feelings. We have hearts, you know, and you let yours show, you bring it out, let people know who you are, then people respond to that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the internet is, you know, we were talking about the internet is how empowering it is to allow, you know, someone, like you said, from a small town and everything to be able to reach so many people and make an impact, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, Peggy, you know, you're like this overnight success or something. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Like the work, you know, first of all, it's like you say, Sam, and I noticed this on the site, you talk about passion, you know, how important passion is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's very easy to give up on things. You know, it's very, very easy. But if you have passion, if you really in your heart want to be out there, you know, delivering a message like you do, Kara, you make people laugh. You know, you've got this gift of humor.
Oh, thank
you.
You
really, really are passionate about it. You know, you'll do what's necessary, of course, as long as it's legal, ethical, and moral.
Yeah. I mean, I will do what's necessary. I'll dress up like a lot of things I probably shouldn't. I will overshare information that people would not dare to share on a you know, worldwide radio show. Hopefully somebody's laughing at my expense. Continue. Back to you.
Yeah. So,
no, but really just to say that, you know, what that does is people will connect with you. They're going, wow, she's real. And she makes me laugh. You see, you move people emotionally. And if you think of what causes things to explode online, it's because people have been moved emotionally. Sometimes to laugh, sometimes to cry. Sometimes it's just fascination. Like, oh, isn't that interesting? And they want to tell everybody.
Right, right. And, yeah, so that's why, you know, you get on Facebook, you get on Twitter, and you start seeing these things. And, you know, people, you know, I know that just, being part of, Facebook, for example, it's transformed my life. And I know that it's changed a lot of people's lives as well, you know.
Sounds like a commercial.
True.
Facebook has transformed my life.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It does sound like a commercial.
I'm not the same person that I was.
They don't need me to promote them, I'm sure.
No, they don't. But how has it changed your life?
Yeah. It's because, I mean, like Peggy said, you connect, you build relationships with people. And, you know, I mean, people just go out and they take Facebook pictures now. You know, it's like people go out and they know that they're taking a picture they're going to post on Facebook.
Well, I think what's interesting, right, too, is going back to what Peggy was saying, just the connection. I mean, Facebook, and I know it's not only going to just be Facebook. There's other sites out there that are coming up and stuff. But it's creating what is people have a dire need for community. And that isn't happening with people walking down the street bumping each other with a latte and or going to the grocery store and going, hey, Frank, how's it going? We're not in that society anymore.
Right.
So it's through the virtual world, and then people develop those relationships. I have to tell you, my high school reunion's coming up this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's the point in going? Because I got Facebook. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
Peggy, I know who's had kids. I know who's doing what. I know who's gotten a little chunky.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not just talking about me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But, you know, but the thing is you can connect there and then meet in person. I did an event a couple weeks ago and people flew in from all over. And sure, you know, there were people had met on Facebook and been friends for a long time, had never met before.
I love it.
They all met at this event.
Loves it.
I think there's still a need for that.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's so cool. I love it. I love that whole like, oh my gosh. Cause girl, you know, I'm crazy. So I'll go out to stuff and I'll be like, oh my gosh, we're friends via Facebook. I'll meet people like that all the time.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, remember that time you posted this thing, sure. And then you wrote that comment. Oh my, it's so great. Anyway, great to meet you in like human format. It's so funny though, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is cool. So now this says you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, a mentor, a professional speaker. Do you travel around Canada, the United States, to do some speaking?
Yeah, I just got back from New York. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of speaking engagements coming up in the summer and into the fall. I think every one of them is in the United States. Most of the speaking engagements that I do are in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And the Canadians don't even have electricity yet, actually. So I'm just kidding. I do some speaking engagements locally, but most of it is in the U.S.
Yeah.
Different events, different conferences. I love to speak on this subject. You know, honestly, like if you saw me before I went on stage to speak, I'm a nervous wreck. Like I'm you know, wanting to vomit. I'm really, really anxious. But the reason why I do it is because I want to share the message. Like it has changed my life. You know, like you're saying, Sam, Facebook has transformed your life. It's changed so many people. Look at Susan Boyle.
Right.
You know, like, look what happened. I mean, that was really a viral explosion. She got on Britain's Got Talent, and, you know, this little video all of a sudden goes all over YouTube, and millions of people are viewing it, and the next thing out, she's like this overnight sensation.
Right.
You know, this incredible woman. So I love speaking on this because of the positive change that it's had in so many people's life, and in my own, you know, just the ability to, you know, be the mom. I call myself a stay-at-home mom. I've got a very successful business.
Right.
But my son calls from school and says, hey, Mom, I forgot my science book on the kitchen table. Can you bring it over? Yeah, sure, honey. You know, no problem.
Yeah,
I can't always do that
right.
Because I have appointments sometimes. But
that's
to be
so
available
sweet.
For my family is number one.
Yeah, definitely. And it's liberating, you know. And I think this is something that anybody would want if they could, you know, sort of a career where you're open to do other things as well. You know,
yeah.
And I did want to mention about the book, you know, you mentioned about, you know, finding a need and filling it and whether people are going to pay for it. And, you know, these are basic marketing things, I think, that work for brick and mortar as well as online businesses. You know, I mean, this is, I think, a basic thing. Don't just go out there and produce something just because you like it or you think, you know, I mean, you got to have something there that people want, you know, and fill a need.
True.
Yeah,
absolutely true. You know, this morning I had one of my clients here. She's a lawyer, and she does mediation with couples, and she's got an idea for a book. I mean, that's something. But I said to her, I said, listen, you can expand that beyond the book. Like, you could teach people. Think of what it is. What's the need? You know, what do people have? Like, she wants to, you know, help women rebuild their life after divorce type mm-hmm. of thing, because sometimes they're just like this broken down, burnt out, you know, shriveled up little being. And I said, well, how can you serve these? First of all, what's the need? And then how can you serve them in a way that they could, you're accessible to them? So you don't have to be in front of them necessarily, but you could do e-courses or e-classes. You know, there's a lot of education we can offer online without us ever having to leave our home.
Right, right. And that's what exactly the book is about. The book is Viral Explosions, and we're talking to Peggy McCall. I definitely recommend the book. I read about a quarter of it, and it really grabbed me because you do have a system, and I think it's a simple one, and I definitely recommend for people to at least check it out and see what it's about. Peggy, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks,
really appreciate
Peggy.
This. And
hey, thank you both.
Now, you've written books before this one, right?
Oh, yeah, this is my seventh.
Wow, seventh book.
Yeah, that's my seventh book. And that's what I talk about. I talk about how I, you know, got the idea to write my first book and how it, you know, evolved into bestsellers and got on the New York Times list and everything. That's what I wrote in Viral Explosions is how did I do that? How did I create that?
Right. And give us your, give out the website again.
Yes, it's destinies.com, which is DESTINIES.com, destinies.com.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Wow, that's a great...
Thanks so much. I'm very excited, and I think you have such a great personality with a lot of excitement underneath it that, you know, the whole idea of going and hammering out any kind of marketing on the internet just does not excite me, but the way you really presented it, that whole 48-hour thing kind of got me. Everybody check
yes,
in.
Yes. Always ready for quick money.
Come on, I got your deal. I got your deal. I open up my jacket. Here you go. No, thank you very much. I'm very excited.
Peggy, all the best to you. Congratulations again on the book, and good luck to you.
Thanks. And to both of you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, always nice to have cool people on the show.
Yeah. So, you know? Viral Explosions. Yes. I'm going to actually read this if I can.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know.
I like that concept of – I really like the concept of women that are stay-at-home moms mm-hmm. being empowered financially. I always feel like that it's such a hard thing for women to have to choose.
Yeah.
And they have to – clearly, they most of them choose their family, and they make that sacrifice, and they don't regret it, but it would be great for them to be able to – like a good friend of mine's at home, and I know that she started doing a lot of cool things, like with her blog. You know, she was on the show,
right.
Life from Both Sides,
uh-huh.
her blog. And anyway, it's really cool. So she's, you know, working on that. But I just think there's so many women that it would be such a great channel for them because it's
right.
accessible. It's around their schedule. I just think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And whatever it is you do and sell, the most important thing, obviously, is to find the customers, you know, and that's where you want to spend most of your time is in marketing. And
I mean, you did a great job with this.
Yeah.
We're number one Google searched.
Yes. We're number one in a lot of things.
I know. I know. I love getting Sam going. He starts getting all like yeah. Team sports on me. Yeah, Carol, don't you stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Man.
You better just remember, just keep mind your P's and Q's freaking going down.
Yeah.
I love
but,
it.
You know, she talks about marketing an ebook and stuff, and this is a great idea. You know, anybody can write a book, and, you know, you don't even have to publish it. You just put it online. People can download it as a PDF. You
really?
Know, you charge for it. And think about it. You don't need any inventory. There's no upfront expenses. There's hardly anything. You
oh,
just
my
put
gosh.
Up a website. That's what she's talking about, you know?
An ebook. How amazing
yeah.
is that?
Yeah. You know, and then you sell it online. It doesn't cost you anything. And you just have to bring traffic to your website, which is the holy grail.
I bet publishers are shaking a little bit.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's not at the expense of really.
Well, not now. Books, it's know. Not now. I
yeah.
mean, people still buy
books. I hope it never changes, you know. And
But people with the Kindle and all those, you know.
Yeah, and the iPad now, you know.
It's like people are like purchasing books.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's some people. I think most people that love books will stay with books.
Well, I think you know? You're right, but I definitely, I mean, it's just a matter of time, though.
Yeah.
Over
that's
time.
That's true, although I don't think books are going to go away. I mean, I can see newspapers going away, unfortunately. It's very sad. But people that like books, they like to hold them, you know. They like to smell them. I know I do.
I know you do, Sam.
I smell
with
the book.
With your little Jackie Collins novel. All right, what's your current read right now?
I'm reading three books right now. I'm reading Outliers, which we were talking about the other day when Byron was here.
Yeah.
And when Reese was here, they brought up that book.
Those are great. That's a great book.
It's a great book because it tells you how people, when they succeed, it's not so much about being lucky or being talented. It's about, well, it is more about being lucky, like about having certain circumstances happen to you, you know? We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Our shitty talk radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
So we have a guest in the studio. Good morning to you.
Awesome guy.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, good. And so introduce him to us.
We have an awesome, awesome friend of mine. His name is Alex Lapretti, right?
Yeah, it's kind of close. It's Lapreet, but she's such a great friend, isn't she?
Yeah. I took so much time to learn and pronounce your last name. We actually met at the Los Angeles Comedy Shorts Festival.
That's right.
And
yeah. You met a lot of people there.
We sure did. Didn't we meet a lot of people?
Yeah, I met a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he's rocking what we call his domino jacket because it's red, white, and blue, and that's how I saw him the whole weekend.
It does look like Domino's jacket.
Brandon myself. Pizza delivery guy is what I'll be pretty soon. So.
Really?
Completely unemployed.
Something
that's
to aspire to.
There we go.
But no, super funny dude. We hit it off, and I was like, yeah, come on the show. He is a screenwriter and a comedian here in Los Angeles and from Texas.
And from Texas as well. That was where we bonded. Yeah.
Where in Texas are you from?
Well, I went to school in Austin. I was born in Houston, lived in Dallas.
You've had a nice
plethora. The whole triumvirate right there, all up and down 35. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So what was Texas living like coming here? Because you know when Texas is great, but if you're like the quirky or like the creative person.
You gotta get out.
Not that there aren't like still creative people there.
No, Austin was a great town, but it's like a haven for people who just want to talk about things but not actually do it. It's like,
oh really?
It's like, yeah, I'm a writer and I'm a comedian, but I also sleep till 3 o'clock every day. I work at Subway, but you know.
Yeah. So do you find that is it there's not enough industry there, or is it just the people, or what?
Well, as far as the film industry goes, there's a pretty decent I guess LA as a mecca. Like for film, it's kind of like dispersing because of independent film and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, Austin has a scene, but it's like a shoestring budget. It's just like, you know, you can get acting gigs, you can get, you know, all kinds of things, but they're not going to pay you anything.
Well, yeah. And it's not. They don't really do most of their casting out there, do they?
No. Well, I mean, if it's local, you know, they'll cast out there. But like, I mean, if they're doing big stuff, the gigs are here, then they just, you know, put it out there.
Yeah, there's they'll a lot just of, film out there to
right,
see money.
Right.
That's why people would always be like, why don't you just do Austin? I was like, no.
No.
But Austin is a pretty cool town. You know, I was there for a convention a couple of days, and it's a college town, right?
Oh,
for the most part, yeah.
He's like, yeah. What does that mean? Because I'm just curious, because I've visited
it's
there, like you said.
A lot of young people, you know.
Well, I mean, I know, but I mean,
not
the,
a lot of
the
money
vibe,
being made.
the vibe of it, because I went to visit there and had a great time, but it was only for a few days, and I love that there's a lot of athleticism there, and there's a lot of running. There's a lot of outdoor stuff, and I like the whole. I always like the idea of things, like the idea of the country boy. Right. I don't really necessarily know if that's what I want, but I like the idea of like, howdy, ma'am, I've got a rope and I can help you out in your hard situation. But I don't really know if that's what I. I don't know what the hell.
That's not Austin. That's for sure. Austin's like a nice little oasis right in the middle of Texas, which is a sea of red. Which is like all like very Republican, and then you go into Austin, and
super
it's just like
blue, right?
People are just yelling things out of their cars, just like. Just take it easy.
Yeah. So what was your experience living there as far as being creative and then like the whole college thing?
College is college. I mean, you crawl home every night. You don't really go to class. I was it's interesting. I there's a big film school there. I was actually a psychology. I did biology as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I come out here and everyone works for free, and it's just like people that are breaking in. It's just like, yeah, you got to work for free for like a year.
Right.
And then maybe we'll throw you $10 an hour. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting like transition to go from like you can not work and have an apartment in Austin.
Okay.
Like you don't actually have to have a job and you can live there.
Really?
And you can afford to eat and you can do all kinds of things, but in LA, you come to LA and it's a different story.
Yeah.
Like you're unemployed in LA, you're like 1 week from being like evicted every single month.
Yeah. You get used to it though. You just get used to it. You know, like you get your five jobs at the last minute. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
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 As far
but
as jobs,
you do have to pay your dues. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to work for free. You know?
No, it is. It's different because it's kind of like the intern, the free element, the work your ass off here. But the stakes are higher. The risk is greater. The reward is greater.
Right.
And whereas I guess in Austin you can kind of live more comfortably, get by. It's not as like sink or swim.
It's exactly right. Like I mean, in Texas, like. You can buy a home for next to nothing. You
That's
know?
So
like,
true. And I'm, nice homes, too.
A nice, like, four-bedroom home.
With a wraparound porch and some sweet tea waiting for you.
Yeah, some sweet tea, that's for sure. Yeah, just all kinds of things. And it's just, it's great, and it's peachy, and you're very complacent.
Yeah.
Very complacent, yeah. So going, this is so interesting, because it's fun for me to talk to people that, like, when you break out, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like anybody from any other part of the world, the country. But no, not necessarily. Some places are more metropolitan. metropolitan.
Yeah.
People ask me, you don't like sports. Like, I mean, I like guys that like sports, but I like that they like
no,
it.
That's weird.
Yeah, but I don't want to sit and watch televised sports because it was abusive.
Yeah.
Growing up in Texas, it was sports or nothing. So if you were creative, musical or whatever, it was like, there wasn't anything for you. You were excommunicated. And I was very like rebel against the culture because I just never liked it. But leaving it, I appreciate it now, but I don't,
right.
It's still not for me. But so getting out, it's like you meet a lot of Texans. There's so many Texans in LA. I think so.
No, it's true. There's a huge, huge network of Texans.
And you meet each other, and the Texans meet each other. It's just like South African friends, tons of South Africans here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of South Africans as well.
Yeah, but I think that what happens is people kind of gravitate to one another, and there's something about the people that leave the hometown that they have a bond.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if that.
No, you were like from deep, deep, dark, like Bay Cliff, like that's Texas. That's borderline. That's almost Louisiana, Texas.
Yeah, it is.
I think they're like geographically, they're talking about like once you get out of like the Gulf Plains, it's more like Southwest, like desert, and like it's just this own thing, and then.
Yeah.
East Texas is very much like the Deep South. Like it's
It is.
So yeah. I mean, Houston is kind of like, it's not any different than Atlanta. I would assume. I've never been to Atlanta, but you know, kind of like it's just
easy to make the comparison.
It's easy to make that parallel. So
I've never lived in the Austin or Dallas area, so I kind of looked at it
It's kind of well, Dallas has, I don't know, I don't want to get into the intricacies of Dallas and Houston, but like Austin's way different than both of them.
Well, yeah.
So.
That's cool. I think Austin's probably cool.
It's a little bit more accepting, but it's like you do your 4 years there and you get out.
Really?
Well, I mean, if you're in college, yes. But like some people love it there. Some people will never leave. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's just it's not my thing.
Yeah.
So when did you decide to move out here?
Before I even went to college. Like I didn't even want to go to college. I was, you know, in high school doing the whole, me and actually my roommates, we actually in high school started like a film club at our high school.
Love it.
And, you know, did the whole thing and it actually kind of, I was surprised to see that it's still going on, you know, like 5-6 years later.
Oh my
still
gosh,
going
that's
on.
So cool.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. And then, so like we've kind of always been like this group of kids that were kind of like, not necessarily socially awkward. Like people knew who we were, but it was just like, hey, those kids are weird. Just, you know.
We're not exactly, we're not exactly retarded, but.
Yeah, we're not completely retarded is what it is.
Yeah, no. So he's moved out here recently, right?
Yeah, 3 months.
He's been three
oh,
months.
Oh, really?
He's already.
You already learned a lot about LA.
Well, he's got some cool things. He's got some cool things rocking and rolling, which is why he's on the show. But it's also his, he's done the crazy job thing. So I think I met you right when you like quit or got fired.
Yeah,
and Sam, you're going to love this because, you know, this is Sam's thing.
So it's the biggest LA cliche. I moved to LA within 3 days. I'm working in the porn industry.
Really?
Welcome to LA. And it's like the parallel industry. You got to go into the valley to find it.
Right. Yeah.
So like I get hooked up with a guy. A friend helps me move, you know, a stove. I buy him a beer. He introduced me to a guy who's a porn photographer. Mm-hmm. He needs an office assistant. Bam, I got a job in 3 days. It's
really?
Great.
Yeah.
So I'm working there, and then I'm actually working for a guy who's very much more like a tyrant. Like, he's like this old, like, was like a penthouse photographer, and like very, like, you go there, it's like, wow, this is L.A. You go to his big mansion in the valley.
Is he iconic?
He is kind of iconic, actually. Yeah, like, I don't want to say his name because he's a total bastard. Like, I hate that guy. But
yeah.
what's so bastardy about him?
He's a tyrant. He's a total tyrant. You walk in and it's make me my eggs, do this, do that. You know, you're not doing it fast enough. And it's just...
Really?
It's funny because he says the same thing behind the camera. It's like, hey, you're not doing it fast enough. But, it was interesting, and I'm so glad I don't work there.
Yeah. So how long were you
there?
So
you were his assistant as well?
I wasn't like a photo assistant. I was his office assistant. Like
I got employed
to do like, you know, kind of some of his web stuff. I was answering phones, doing the whole, you know, just complete office assistant.
Right.
And then he actually had a photographer who did all the pictures and everything, and that guy actually hired me. He's a great person. That guy's a really nice guy. After I got fired, he's like, I feel really bad, so he got me drunk. Which
really?
Is great, because
that's cool.
When you come to L.A., you can't afford drinks in L.A. When you're coming from Texas and they give them away there.
Yeah, it's like in the water there, huh?
Yeah, it's in the rivers. We
scoop
bottle it up and we sell it. And we make money off of the alcohol river that grows
yeah.
in.
Yeah, but no, so the porn thing, you're like, okay, great, a little filing, a little phones, I can, you know.
I can totally do this.
I can do that. I could push a button and transfer you here and some web stuff. And then yeah. it ends up being what? Hey, can you massage my feet?
No,
do my taxes?
No, the greatest thing, okay, so my first memory of coming to L.A., my first day on the job, I go there. It's like, okay, we're going to do a photo shoot. It's a, they call it a content trade. No one gets paid. It's like, I do it for your website. You get to keep the content. No holds bar, no one, you know, so
okay.
So I go there, this model comes in, you know, she poses, she does the whole thing, and I'm there, and hey, here's the dildo. We need you to go and make sure, you know, kind of oil it down, lube it down, and you know I'm yeah, and it's like
no way. Wait,
yes way.
Way.
Yes,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on, because I didn't know where this was going. Hold on. Stop for 1 second. So little poor Alex, like just hanging out with his Domino's jacket on, just wants to make his movies and do his stuff. You had to lube up a thing.
A thing. I had to lube up a thing.
Oh, you had to lube it up.
It was like the breaking in thing. Yeah. Right. It's like, ha ha ha, you're an office assistant. Here you go. And it's like, welcome to
but
LA.
But you didn't like. You didn't.
No, the thing was, it's like sometimes they're like, okay, if it wasn't a content trade, we usually sometimes we don't hire certain, like we don't hire a lighting assistant. So sometimes you have to, you know, if she's in a weird angle and it doesn't stay in, mm-hmm. someone has to like hold it in or like put it. It's a really corrupt, disgusting industry. And it
so
was,
did you like?
No.
Okay. You didn't hold in anything.
No. Okay. I could have. But luckily,
yeah,
she
why
was.
Why wouldn't he want to?
Yeah. It's the most awkward thing. You walk
it's
in.
It's unnatural.
It's just extremely unnatural. And then it's funny because they have like these two operations. Like they do the photos and then it's like, okay, then the photo guy's like, I don't mess around with video. That's just weird. Mm. Like he has boundaries for some reason.
That's
yeah,
why.
That guy has boundaries. But, you know, so then they bring a lady out and she does the video and she's recording and then you're in the next room. So the best thing is you're in the next room and you're just listening to these like orgasmic moans as she's like mm-hmm. video, you know, like, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I want to ask you, though. So a girlfriend that I knew that I actually moved out here with, we parted ways. It was not a good match.
Oh.
She's a little psycho. So was I. So, you know, I'll take some responsibility. But she, again, she got hooked up right away. She was like desperate mode. She needed a job. We all needed jobs. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. I moved out here with $300 in a car that broke down in New Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, so I got here. And I'm like flashy lights. I'm like excited. You know, I packed up the goldfish. Got the... You know, I'm ready to do this. I'm going to transfer my job from Starbucks to this Starbucks. I'll be good. Yeah. I could do it in Texas. You know, I could do it in Texas, you know. And I'm like, we got to find a place to live. Didn't know how much it costs to live out here. I mean, which is kind of a blessing because if had I known, I probably wouldn't have
come out.
It's like it would have taken me forever to get out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but so I came out here and she's like, I need a job. And her friend of a friend hooked her up in the porn industry doing assistant work. Mm-hmm. And like her first day on the job, she had to wash off a dildo.
Yeah,
she's
I actually
scrubbing it down.
I did the same thing. That really? You wipe it down and you soap it up, and they're very, very clean, but it's very, very disgusting regardless.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's got to just do something, because I know women that that a lot of friends of mine, makeup artists, mm-hmm. that have worked in the industry doing the makeup, and it just you know, train wreck stories after train wreck, just really sad about how like the girls are just not coherent. I'm sure it's not every girl, but that most.
That's he said the same thing. Some girls, the thing that appalls, it's not appalling, but it's like, okay, so you only have to show up a few times a month, like you get like a few $1,000 a shoot,
mm-hmm.
and like they could book. I mean, it matters who, you know, the type of person, but they
yeah.
could book stuff all the time. But it's just like, I'm not going to show up to this one at all. I'm going to book it, and I'm going to be so drunk in the morning that I'm not even going to show up.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, it's kind of putting people out of limb because they're hiring a bunch of people to
yeah.
be there. You know, they need a lighting assistant, they need a makeup artist, and none of those people get paid if the model doesn't show up.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing for them to do.
Yeah, and these women are very flaky, you know? I mean,
I've seen it,
you know, with this radio station, sometimes they just won't show up, you know?
Or, Sam's used to
they
have a
show
lot
up
of
late.
Porn stars on before at me.
Yeah, before you.
I was like, yeah, I'm not throwing
until
anything.
You came here.
Sorry,
anyway.
Sam, I love you. I hope I'm good enough. I hope this is working for you.
Yeah.
She came in and reined me in, you know?
Yeah. No, we get spicy in other ways, right? No.
Well, it's a radio show, so no one sees it, but...
Yeah, we get spicy in other ways. We get good debates. Doesn't that make up for something? Come on, people, love me. Shit.
Yeah. Give her all the attention she needs, and more.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. An attention whore by your own admission.
No, I don't like using that word.
Hey, hey, yeah. I've seen her at her potluck. She commands the stage.
He came over. We had a little potluck.
Oh, did you really?
Sam, you gotta come over.
Cool? Those are fun. Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing fancy about it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing fancy, but we hang out. Everybody shows up.
But you hang out with people and stuff.
Hospitality isn't about what you have. It's about creating family environment. And it's all about people. And it's like, bring what you got, your shirt off your back. We have a bunch of weirdos that show up sometimes.
Yeah. I love them. I love them.
We did, like, I think the last one we had, it was cool, but it was, we got a bunch of quirky birds, you know, a bunch of quirk-a-lurks, you know, get up in there, and they're individually really cool people, but they don't know how to necessarily connect.
Right.
So you have to kind of babysit and help bring them out a bit. But I love people, and I love creating environment. I love people connecting with people, and it's vital in this town.
Mm. Oh, it really is. Like, you'll go crazy. I went crazy. Like, the first few days I was here, it's like, I'm already crazy.
Really?
it didn't take long. L.A. has already driven me crazy.
Yeah. Really?
But you are new here. I mean, it takes a while to meet people and stuff, you know?
No.
But you came out here a little older than I did, and you're like, you got a lot more, I think, a lot more snap. And, you know, tell us about some of the projects that you're working on. You've got some good stuff.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Thank you for plugging that. That's great. No, I've done some screenplays. I'm working on a screenplay right now. It's in its infancy. I've done 4 or 5 before. I actually got a actor, actually, at the L.A. Comedy Shorts.
Yeah.
I don't want to scare him away, but he said he kind of attached himself to a short I wrote.
Yeah.
And he did, I'll plug his name. Well, I guess, should I plug his name?
It's up to you.
I don't want to scare him away, but he did, he was actually featured, he did Funny or Die, which is a website.
Yeah, we know.
FunnyorDie.com. It was the first featured short that they did.
It's
really good. It was the big dog.
Yeah.
And it's the main actor in that. He attached himself to it. We're looking for directors. I don't know exactly how it's going to go on.
Yeah, that's great. That's going to be great for you.
Yeah, so that would be a great, nice little thing. Like, oh, 3 months.
Which is kind of how it works. You get the attachments and it flies.
I mean, it's the way the industry, it's backwards now. It's used to go to studios and you say, I have this deal, and then you pitch it to them. But now you got to get everyone attached. You got to get the whole project attached, and you like kind of sell it as like a...
A package, huh?
As a package deal.
Yeah,
like, as
you
like
have to put it together yourself.
Like, as a development deal. It's like, look, I have all these actors in place. I have this, you know, it's just like, so.
No, it's really, really cool. But he was cool because what, I mean, you got, we're at this Comedy Shorts Festival. Everybody's a little quirked out anyway.
Right.
It's really, it's comedy. It's fun. And you know me, I had the lipstick from ear to ear smeared just cause. I needed to jazz it up. Yeah. And everybody's doing their thing. And then you get, you know, Alex is hanging out with his Domino's jacket every day. And he's just like, he just seems mellow. Like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, what's going on with this dude? And he's like, he's like, didn't make the cutoff or something, like you didn't submit it in time, but you still showed up. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it was, I was there and I submitted it super late. And, you know, I never heard back from him, but that's okay. No, but
we had a great time.
Well, it was good. The thing that it's all networking. Like, you know, you get there, you submit something there, and then you still network other things. You know, you're networking. You got other things to.
I met some amazing people there. I really recommend it. The L.A. Comedy Shorts Festival is a great.
Yeah, it was a really awesome thing.
But he's just cool doing his thing, and you've got these people attached now, which is pretty
awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
So he's rocking and rolling, and 3 months in L.A. and I think that's pretty commendable. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yeah.
What about the woman situation in
L.A.? Oh, the woman situation. You know, it's funny. I came to L.A., and I still think Texas women are much, much more beautiful.
Really?
Texas
women are beautiful.
They really are.
I have to admit that, yeah.
I don't know what... It's something
I don't
in the
know
water
about
there.
Kira, but for the most part.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know. Well, that's the deep... Yeah, you got to stay away from those areas. But most people in Texas are beautiful.
Do I look like a Texas girl, though? I don't know if I do.
No. Well, I don't sound like a Texas boy, I guess.
I don't look like a... But people out here think I look like I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
Really? When you say it, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what a Texas girl looks
but
like.
But you're saying I don't have that in factor.
Blonde, blue eyes.
No, I don't know. I think there's a wholesomeness that goes with Texas. There's more of a, I think, more of a subtle beauty.
I'll bet you there have been
more
beauty queens.
You're selling
Texas.
Yourself well.
No, I'm not saying me. I don't think I'm a subtle beauty.
No,
shit's out there screaming. But
no,
I'm saying,
no.
No, I'm saying, like, I think maybe Texas has more of a wholesome... Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Austin, it's like, if you're in Austin, like, it's weird because that's like, in a, you know, it's such a small town. It's just so impacted with people. I mean, the universe, like, they argue that the, you know, the population of Austin fluctuates by, like, 60,000 people, like, a semester.
Really?
Because they leave and come back and leave and come back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, in the summers, it's dead. Like, I mean, if you're a student. But, like, there are people there, and they're just, it's just a very crowded, tiny town.
Right.
And it's just full of, I mean, a law of averages. There's a lot of people there. There's probably more attractive people there than they are, like, in Idaho somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Law of averages.
But I've noticed, I mean, and I've said this for a long time, and I've known a couple of women from Texas, is it's always the blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, And I think many Texans have been like Miss USA, Miss Universe, and things like that, you know, because they are beautiful there. I don't know how it happens, but, you know, many of them move here.
I have gorgeous. My cousins, I don't really know if I consider myself, I don't know what I consider myself, but my cousins, they have that cute, there's like a real cute Texas girl thing.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
No,
but they have that going on. They talk like this. They're real sweet like this. Yeah. They're like, hey, we want to come see you in Los Angeles. I'm like, okay. They talk like this. They're just so sweet, Sam. Just
I mean, so many don't talk like that either, you know? I mean, I used to
roll
know
with
this
it.
Girl.
Yeah, hey, you're killing.
Roll with it, Sam.
I was 21 years old. This chick was like drop-dead gorgeous from Texas, from Lubbock. And
Lubbock. I did butt cheek squeezes when I said that. Okay. For those of you guys, a Lubbock.
But, anyway. Yeah, she was like, you know, and that's when I started realizing chicks from Texas are really, really attractive, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she was like a, you know, like a cowboy cheerleader or something. You know?
Oh, they all are. Yeah. Everyone you run into is like, yeah, I was a cheerleader for the Cowboys. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
No, it's such, I think there's a, you know, everywhere you go, there's like the stereotype of like, this is the idea. And of course, there's all different kinds of people there. But, you know, that's kind of the fantasy, I think.
It's very blue collar. I mean, it's not so unlike California. I mean, like you get out of LA. I mean, there's blue collar. It's just.
Yeah, California has a lot of country stuff.
Yeah,
and a lot of
conservative
places.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back to the women, I mean, have you been dating at all? Have you been able to meet anybody?
That's interesting. I came here with a girlfriend, and I still have the same girlfriend.
Oh, really?
She's
moved with you?
Well, she's an Indian girl, so her parents don't know I exist.
Oh, really?
It's absolutely,
seriously?
Absolutely true.
And how long has that been going on?
We've been dating for about a year now.
Really?
She's a great person. She's brilliant. She's smart. She's going to be listening to this, so I'm just going to keep rambling on. I'm going to go visit her this weekend, so this is going to be great for
you. Yes.
No, she actually lives in San Jose. She's doing the whole she's an organization called Teach for America.
Oh, cool.
She does the whole teaching underprivileged kids. She's a very brilliant, smart person.
I see.
Going back to school.
A long distance relationship.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Really does suck, man. Yeah.
How often do y'all see each other?
About every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's
not so bad. I mean, she's only, you know, usually we've been, you know, we can swap tickets back and forth with the whole unemployment thing. Which means I'm driving this weekend.
Oh.
Which isn't a big deal. It's like 4 or 5 hour drive.
That's not too bad. No, not at all. That's pretty cool. So she's Indian.
She's Indian.
And she's super smart, beautiful girl. Parents don't know that you exist.
Nope.
How does that work?
It's very simple. She just never mentions my name. I mean, she doesn't live with them. It's not that hard. I mean, we started dating in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, she's not living with her parents, so they don't have to know.
Yeah.
But, like, what would happen if they found out that she was dating a white dude from Texas that is in L.A., that worked in the porn industry, got fired, and wears a
Domino jacket? I got fired from the porn industry. Like, I didn't even, like, voluntarily leave. Like, I'd still have that job if it was offered.
Uh-huh.
I got fired.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you get fired, by the way?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, like, what I was told, like, I got fired as easy. I walked in, like, hey, yesterday was supposed to be your last day, but you didn't pick up the phone when I called you tonight.
Oh, that's
like,
funny.
And he called me. The guy called me like the day after my shift, and I was like, "Ah, look, I'm not picking this up. This is bad."
Yeah.
Like he never calls me, and I had a feeling he was gonna fire me. Like I knew it.
Why?
I don't know. Because he's like, it's like I clicked with two of them, but the main boss was just like, I just couldn't appease this.
Certain
guy.
People you do have to click with to stay in the group.
Right, and
it just
didn't work, and it didn't work, and like you know, it wasn't. You know, I was doing his blogging, I was doing his SEO, I was doing all kinds of things, and it just like wasn't quite enough.
Yeah.
And did he really want you to make him eggs and stuff?
Well, the thing is he broke his leg, and he couldn't really get – he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't get around. He's like – you know, and he's very like it's interesting. Like he's shooting porn and women doing all these crazy, you know, like, you know, upside
contortion,
downward facing dog type thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he likes his tofu and his vegan stuff made exactly right. So, and he's just kind of a tyrant. And it was just, he had the only human quality he had to him was that he loved cats. So he had like 9 of them.
That's disgusting.
Just running around the
disgusting.
House, just 9 cats. Jeez. Just all over the place.
That's just nasty and disgusting.
I have no idea what he did to those cats.
I don't even want to.
Yeah,
I don't,
me either.
So, with the women thing, with the porn thing, and we'll bring this full circle, but. Did you find that it influenced the way you looked at women, or could you see how it affected other people the way?
I can very much see why. I mean, I know I don't look at porn anymore. Now that I see how it actually works, it's very like. I mean, I'm not saying it's like human trafficking or anything, but it's a little corrupted.
Yeah.
Especially out there in the valley when they can get away with it.
Oh, okay.
But it's just, yeah, it you know, it's dehumanizing in a way.
Yeah, it's
very much, you know, kind of like it targets certain girls. It doesn't target them, but it very much attracts certain
girls. Like,
and
what are the kind of girls?
Well, I mean, I don't want to sell them short.
No, it's not them. I'm saying, like, it's not like they're bad people. I don't believe
they're
bad people.
No, no, no. It's a lot of them.
With what kind of issues?
Well, like, kind of like, you know, drug issues. There was, you know, some girls that, you know, there was one girl, I don't even remember her name. She was in an orphanage her entire life. And
gosh.
She got,
yeah.
She was like,
they usually
she was
have fucked up childhood.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. She was 18 when she showed up.
Really?
Like, I'm scanning her ID and preparing her paperwork. And she was born in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, they can't wait until they turn 18.
Yeah.
They say that the part of the brain that can make long-term decisions, well, not can't, but the part of the brain that's developed that understands long-term effects as far as consequences and things like that isn't developed until, like, your mid-20s.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, that's why everything before 25 I can say doesn't count.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's so true,
like
though.
That,
no, I've made a lot of really, really bad decisions.
Who hasn't?
And they
hasn't?
And since I've been in L.A., they've just kind of continued. So.
Really?
It has demographics, geography makes no difference.
Really? Yeah.
Still making those bad mistakes.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah, but you know what? That is actually so true. I believe that. Yeah. So with the girlfriend, and she's up north, how is she with the situation.
The porn thing?
Well, yeah, the porn thing.
Well, she knew it. She totally knew it, and she was, you know, the great thing about having, I've realized when you have a girlfriend or a significant other, the most important attribute is, like, support.
Mm.
Like, she's extremely supportive. She's like, I know what you want to do, and I tell everyone up and down, it's like, I had to go to college to realize I'm not good at anything else but what I do.
Okay, there you go.
And that was my affirmation that I need to keep going with this.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the thing, and she knows that's what I want to do, that's what I'm here to do, so she's like, just have a day job.
And it's not like you went and acted in porn or anything.
Oh,
you know?
I'm not making them bad for it.
No.
I'm asking.
I worked in it too, and I was doing graphic design and stuff. You know, I was designing like
I'm
CDs.
I'm not making them bad. I'm
stuff.
Just asking. So, I'm asking how she felt. Because if I'm just saying for me as a woman, if I knew my husband was visually seeing it and it's part of his job, even if he wasn't participating but he was around it, I'd be like, hell no. You are not looking at boobs and vagine, and you're not going to look at stuff go down and then try to hit it up. It ain't.
Yeah.
You're not going to, like, I'm trying, you know, did I make myself clear? And it's just, it's not because I don't trust him. It's because I think of what visually, how that can affect somebody.
Right.
Even if they don't want it to. Even if they don't want it to, and they're like, I love my wife, I want to be with my wife, but being around it, seeing it, they say the number one thing that porn can do is really make you devalue your sexual partner because there's a constant comparison. It's not even that you're trying to. It's just visually it stays in you, and it kind of can jack around with stuff.
No,
and
I agree. Like, it's dehumanizing. It is dehumanizing, but it does, like, I can understand why it breaks up families. Like, it really could be a problem. Like, it can become a huge escalating problem. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a
Yeah, everything that you do in excess is not good, you know? But I think a little bit is good and it's healthy.
Hey, nobody's taken away from you.
Good.
I'm not taking away from you.
Even if you tried, you couldn't.
I know.
There's free tube sites out there.
Listen, I'm not taking away from you. I'm just telling you, I think you're going to hell, but that's all. No, I'm just playing.
Okay.
I love you. I'm just playing. But no, we had a guest on who was openly talking about how he has to get it off with, you know, his porn and pulled over one day. Underneath a tree.
Well, it's so easy now.
With his laptop getting free Wi-Fi.
me and my friends were talking. It's so easy now. If you have an iPhone, you have porn.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's it?
Yeah, like because they have porn apps on iPhones. They were developing like SpankWire, all kinds of stuff.
What the heck is that?
It's a free porn tube site.
Really?
There's a bunch of them.
Why would they do that for free?
I actually know why they do it for free.
Yeah.
It's a business model. Do you want to hear it? Because I can tell you, it's kind of boring. It's called 50-50 rev share. Do you know anything? You said you worked in the porn industry, right?
Yeah, but I didn't get involved in the business side.
The business side, it's 50-50 rev share. So what you do, each girl is kind of like her own like marketing, like her own business, her own LLC.
Okay.
And what they do is they develop their own websites and they give like their free stuff to tube sites. And when people click on the link to like they want to go to the website and like actually buy and submit, you know, like pay the fee.
See the entire movie in better quality.
And then you pay for the website and it's 50-50. So that tube site gets 50%. Of the submission fee, and then the website gets the other 50%.
Oh, okay.
And then every month they're splitting it, and that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
I knew a girl who she was, I'm a Christian and believer, and she converted or, you know, got gave her life to God and hooked up with Jesus, and she was
super born again.
Yeah, but she was like I don't know, but things pretty good. But she was a big time porn. I want to say, I guess you could say the word star, but big time porn star. But it was all through the internet, like she did the videos and stuff, and she was part of a website, meaning like her stuff was on a bigger website. So when she decided that this isn't the life that she wants anymore, she was like, she said it came to her one day. She was like, I could be doing something different with my life. It kind of was like this. There has to be more than this, and it affected her relationships and everything. And beautiful girl, great heart, and she wanted out, and really felt like God was taking her out of that. And the web people were like, no, your website's way too profitable. We're not taking it off. So she went through this huge like legal battle.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, no, sorry. They said if you had gotten pregnant or something, we could understand. But something like God is a fairy tale, so no.
That's exactly what happens. They said that women will do, like, you know, photo shoots, like, you know, 10 years in the past, and they'll come up, and, you know, they'll be, like, 18 at the time, you know, by the time they're 28, 30, they're having families and stuff, and they don't want, they can still Google search your name and find it.
Uh-huh.
So they try and take it down, and they're not going to take it down because they signed all the rights over to,
not
you know,
only that,
the
but once something is on the internet, forget about it. You know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, I've actually been, some of my tech friends have told me that even anything you do on your computer is in your hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I took some pictures of myself with my webcam, just for fun, just for me. It was just
for fun pictures.
No, I mean, it sounds, it's not that dirty. It's just, you know, you're curious. You just want to see what it looks like. Whatever. Shut up. Stop judging me.
It.
Anyway. All no, right. me, just me, nothing
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you want to see what you look like.
Right, okay.
Anyway, whatever. Stop it. Anyway, my point is
you brought it up.
My point is to say that I deleted them instantly because I was like, I don't want anybody saying this. It's just curious. I'm just curious. Like looking in the mirror, you know?
Okay.
So whatever. My point is I deleted them, and then I found out that like somebody could really find those.
Yeah.
They can hack into your hard drive and actually get it, even though I deleted it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean... Nobody cares that much,
but I'm saying down the road
exactly.
When I'm a huge celebrity.
No, you just need to know where to delete it from, you know?
Can you tell me how to do that?
Well, I don't know where you put it, you know, but I mean, you know, I mean, it wasn't like on a website or anything.
No,
it's just on your computer
on my
and you deleted
computer,
it.
Mac computer. Those are, it's
no,
kind of hard
fine.
To get. PCs are really easy to find them and get them off, like with the temporary files and stuff, or like you get back into the hard drive, but,
Yeah, but no, I wouldn't worry
I'm
about it.
I'm not that stressed because it's really not that incriminating. It's not like a big deal. It's
just don't go get it fixed. You get it fixed, the people are going to look at it.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, sure, they can find that. I mean, these are technicians. Like that's.
But not if you delete stuff.
Yeah.
You know, once you delete it and you empty your trash can, you know, they pretty much don't even know it existed.
Yeah.
You know,
they have to seek it out.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, and yeah, I mean,
I'm not that
not
stressed.
That easy.
It's not that bad. I'm making it sound bad. It's just stuff that I don't want people to see. It's private, and I deleted it because just even the thought that my roommate's on here.
Yeah.
You know.
Let me tell you. You know, if you don't want to be seen naked, don't ever take pictures or videos or anything of you.
Do you know what?
Because you never know where.
And
it might
you know
end
what?
Up.
you are right. And not that I have experience with that, but. You know, I always this happens on every show. I get to a point where I don't think other people are listening, and I feel like we're just chatting, and I want to share stuff. And I'm always at this point, like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I? And I always have this tension, and I always usually end up going for it and hoping that nobody cares or thinks anything. And I'm at that point right now.
You got a story, and I'm ready for it. come on, just.
Because it's stupid. It's stupid, and it's, I shouldn't. I'm not going to share it, but here we go. So. This was years ago, okay? Mm. Like two. No, it was years ago. And I was in a very vulnerable place in my life. Anyway, there's this guy, and we were like, we basically sex messaged a while back. And there's a couple of photos that were sent.
I'm sure.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I made him erase them, and I watched him erase these photos.
Yeah, sure.
Lewd, I imagine, right?
They're just suggestive.
Just suggestive, okay.
They're just suggestive.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Well, they're provocative, but they're not
provocative.
Like...
Provocative, oh.
Yeah. But my point is...
I can't believe you did that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's...
I did it a while.
You're like
it was
so
horrible.
I know.
Disgusting person.
It was just one of those, like, you just... You didn't pay attention to what you're doing. You're like, oh, that was probably not right, and it might come back to...
Yeah.
One of those things.
Right. So the story continues.
I hope it
I
doesn't
imagine.
Come back to bite you in the ass.
Even though I watched him delete them, they're probably not deleted.
No.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
What I've actually
That's
heard
like
a lot
of... That's like naive for me to think.
No. I've heard a lot of horror stories, which will actually make you feel a lot more uncomfortable, was there was like a girlfriends and boyfriends, like they're dating and they sex message back and forth or they send email pictures and stuff of them like in provocative things. And
You're
stressed out. I can hear you.
I feel really bad.
So then they
don't lose any sleep over it. If it hasn't come out yet.
It's not that it will, and not that it's that big of a deal. It's just the fact that I'm. It's more that I'm like, why am I sharing this on the radio? It's more stressing me out. Anyway, continue.
So anyways, they break up, and then what they do is they post those everywhere. Like I saw one that they had a.
Is that illegal?
They text it, and then they text it to like their parents and stuff, and like just really awful.
Well, I haven't done that like in a long, long time.
Well, 2 years. So.
Well, no. Shut up. My point is like I won't ever, like you know, even if I get married, and I don't think I'll ever do anything, sex tape, pictures, anything.
Yeah. Don't. It's not necessary.
Well, first of all, I don't need it. I'd rather just do the real deal and just live in the moment and, like, we don't need to recap. If we need to recap, let's just do it
No
again.
One wants to see themselves have sex.
I don't.
I don't think I would.
No, yeah. But my
like,
point
that?
Is...
That's what I look like.
I know, but my point is my point is that I just... There's just too much. It always gets out, and I always think that most of the celebrities do it on purpose, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
But I think that even if you don't want it to come out, people, it's going to get out there.
Yeah.
It's going to get out there.
It will. There's always going to be somebody who feels like for some reason they have to put it on the internet. You know.
Right.
Yeah. And then yeah, once it's out there, that's it. You know.
Done
can't take
and
it back.
Done.
I mean, I can't believe that if somebody was oh.
That's why you know with porn, it's like they get into it, they you know they make a lot of money, and then later they regret it. You know, it's like they want you to feel sorry for them. It's like, come on, what were you thinking? You know, all these years you were making a lot of money, you were you know in hardcore and stuff, and now you have kids and you want it to go away. Well, it's not going to.
Yeah.
You know.
But my heart goes out to people that you know made a mistake. We make mistakes in life. You do stuff in the moment, and you're not really considering heavily the cost later. And it's not, I believe that for some people that it can be so detrimental to their future careers or their family that there should be some kind of like statute of limitations where they can kind of, I think there should be something for them because it is so, it's like something you did when you were younger and now, oh, you can't have this career or it defames you or now your kids. And it's like, there's got to be something for people that have a change. I mean, you know?
Yeah, but there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah, you know, once it's on the internet, that's it.
That's the thing with the web. It's like the wild west of, like, new media. Like, there's nothing regulating it. It's just like...
Yeah. And it better stay that way because it doesn't belong to anyone. You know,
that's the thing.
I mean, the United States tried to regulate a lot of it, but it's not ours.
Well, I mean, there are countries. Right? I mean, China regulates their connection.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So. Oh, they do. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But they can't do it for other people either. You know, that's what I'm saying. They can do it for their own people, but they can't come and make like an all-encompassing law for the entire world. It's just not going to happen, you know. So that's why I prefer that the internet is like this. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why there's so much innovation is because nobody can stop you.
Well, there is a new branch. Like, I have internet law now. It's like a new branch. I know. I think that some schools are like taking up like you can study internet law. And I don't know.
Which I'm sure changes every 2 seconds, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's new industry. Just kind
but
of
no,
new...
it just constantly, it's like you said, it's completely free. It's just rampant.
Right.
Yeah.
I met a guy who's been studying and does forensic computer stuff and catches pedophiles.
Yeah.
That's a great job.
Yeah.
I think.
That's
I don't know.
Crazy.
I love the shows.
The Predator thing?
The Predator shows, How to Catch a Predator.
Yeah. I saw Chelsea Handler, her opener, he was making a joke about how like all the Predators show up with like a six pack of beer and a bunch of munchies.
Yeah.
You know, for like the kids. So he said one night he was hungry. He pretended to be a 13-year-old girl on the internet.
Yeah.
Predator shows up. Hey, I'll take that beer. And
you don't tell anyone, but we can split the beer now that you're here.
Yeah, and he's like, look, just be grateful where there's not a camera crew. Let me see that food.
Yeah, I can give you a hand job. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, there you go. No, that's crazy, though. Have you watched that show?
I've seen a few episodes, like a long time. My uncle was really into it. Like, he would watch it, and it's sad. It's just like he's really into it, and he's watching it. It's like, those perverts, man. Just, like, really getting behind it, and it's just like...
Why are you
that could have been that could have been you. Some of those guys look a little bit like you.
Man, that's nuts. Yeah, but he was just talking about how you know this guy that a friend of mine that does the forensic stuff. He's like everything is traceable. Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so mathematic and it's so like algorithms all the stuff he was talking. I was like,
flatline.
What are we eating?
Yeah.
But no. But basically, it's like he was just saying everything's like basically on your computer and. you can find and track anything.
I mean, if you
down.
Can track someone's IP address, you can hack into their stuff. It's really...
What's an IP address?
IP address is... Well, IP address is kind of the location of the computer, like...
Yeah.
The physical location?
The physical location.
It's like there's tracking devices in everybody's computer?
It's like every computer has like an ID number, let's say, quote-unquote. So that's like your ID number, you know, and it can change depending on who your service provider is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in order for... like, let's say you go on a website. Mm-hmm. The website needs to communicate with you back, and it goes based on the IP address.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, what if you have wireless? Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, you still have an IP address. Yeah.
What if you don't have your own wireless, but you just...
Steal someone's wireless?
Well, stealing's a hard word. You just happen to tap. You just tap into whatever
whatever free network is.
Whatever the
look. In order to get on the internet, you need an IP address, and your computer has one.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm all stressed out now with the this computer talk.
With the IP computer address.
Stressing me out. Stressing me out. It's all stressing me out.
Why?
I don't know. It just makes me feel like...
It's existed there all along, you know. Now that you're aware of it, why would you stress out about it?
I'm just joking, kind of.
Okay, kind of.
Yeah, so I think the moral of some of these stories are definitely don't sex message with photos.
Okay, well, we're putting it out there. You know, I'm offering $500 for Kira's pictures.
They don't exist. I saw him erase it. Because you know what will happen?
You erase copies
because people will probably Photoshop shit. I don't believe it. And it's good. People can do good jobs.
Yeah, I know. That's great. You can hope for that.
No.
I would hope for that. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying.
No, because I'll tell you. I'll affirm if that's me. Because, first of all, they don't exist. So don't. Everybody just relax. They don't exist. I saw them. The guy pushed delete on his phone. Don't worry. They don't exist. But even so, let's say some douchebag's like, hey, give me $500. It's probably a Photoshop thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's from a long time ago too.
Okay. So there are no pictures of Kira on the internet.
There's not.
Don't go
it's not my thing. It's not who I am. Blah, blah, blah. It just was a.
I'll
you
find
know.
It.
Shut up. It was just kind of a you know, I was just stupid.
It was like a 26 thing, you know.
26 years old. I think that's young.
Quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's so easy. It's all temptation. There's things you do in the moment because it just
feels right.
Yeah. You think that there's something great there, and you know it's dumb, but you're not really looking at the dumb part yet. We've all done stupid stuff. Y'all don't look at me like
hey,
that.
Hey, I'm not.
You wiped down a dildo.
Hey, you know, they paid me for that.
Yeah, ten
whole dollars an hour.
He's justified.
So you would have still been working there, right?
You know, I complained about it every day. Every single day I came home.
You were happy, though, that you got fired.
I was it was a blessing in disguise, but like I was like, this is great, but in 2 weeks I'm going to be starving.
Yeah.
So it's kind of gotten to that point. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do now? I mean, you're not doing anything
well,
right now?
Well, interviews. I'm just going around.
Explain the job market situation right now, because people that aren't in the job market situation in LA, they don't understand. And I feel like I've got friends in my life that they're not in it, and I'm like, you guys, I'm not really making this shit up.
No, it's bad. Like, I mean, Craigslist is great for a lot of things.
Uh-huh. It's a flea market, though.
Horrible for finding jobs.
Really?
Like, it's just... I don't understand why they do it because it costs money to post a job ad.
Right, right.
But like, you know, half of them are pyramid schemes. Like I've definitely fallen into two pyramid schemes.
Really?
Like went to one interview and like the way she was explaining, it's like, it's not a pyramid scheme anymore. It's like kind of like a stair step diagram they grow. It's like they draw it. It's like, okay, 2 weeks here, then 4 weeks here. Yeah. And then in a year's time, you can own your own business making at least $70,000 a year.
Right.
It's like, that sounds great, but that's completely fake.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. And
not only that, you know, I mean, it's multi-level marketing.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, there's legitimate ones, you know, but you probably fell into the ones of the illegitimate ones.
Right.
And even the legitimate ones, I mean, the thing is that it's a whole controversy about it, you know, because there's always people losing money in this, you know.
Well, I had an interview lined up last week that, you know, I was excited about it. It was like a management marketing position. And I was like, okay, cool, I could do this. Real flexible schedule. Anyway, I start researching the company and it's like scam, 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 scam. And then it listed all these other marketing companies that you need to look out for, and I'm like, I'm sure I've applied to like 10 of them.
Well, the thing is, it's like the way those multi-level thing is like you get to a point, and then you know they give you your own office, and then I guess they say they give you some kind of capital to start your office and everything, but then they take on a different name, so you can't even look up the name you're applying for because that's like a seed of another company.
Wow. Yeah,
so like it's just like it just keeps growing and growing, and like I'm just like, where did this begin? Where did you know? I'm not going to say the name that I went to, but like it's just like one's right down the road.
Okay,
because I actually went to that one in Sherman Oaks in the Chase Bank building on Ventura. Mm-hmm. But that one was only one interview. I was like, okay, this is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And then I went to another one, to two interviews, and they offered me the job. And I was like, man, I could make, like, something, and then I could just run with the money. But it still wasn't worth it.
But my thing, too, is, like, just be upfront, you know? Just be upfront. Like,
that's what I'm
just like, I don't have time to invest in your company. I'm looking for a day job.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a day job, like something that I can make a little cash, hopefully more than a little, but, right. You know, that's legit. And it's, you know, and so... You know, it's weird because I've kind of got my hands spread a lot. I've actually have an interview today right after I get out of here, but it's for like, it's crazy. I always have crazy.
Yeah, all these crazy interviews.
No, this is like a personal assistant type thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm responding to too.
Oh yeah.
I can clean up poop like the best of them.
There you go. This is like a personal assistant for like this. I don't even know. But yeah.
Whose poop were you cleaning exactly?
You know, cat poop. I don't know.
Oh, my God, man.
Good for you. Yeah, you walk in, it's like, hey, the cat vomited. Can you go ahead and get that for me? And when you're done, I'm hungry, so I could use some eggs as well.
Really?
Don't wash your hands between, please.
Well, yes. Ugh, that's not cool, man. I think there's something really crazy about people that have a lot of wealth. I have to tell you this. So yesterday, we went to a barbecue in Newport Beach, beautiful place. I was invited by friends of friends type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of affluent crowd. You know, everybody's kind of young money or young professionals. Condo right on the water. Gorgeous, gorgeous. I'm like, how did I get here? How did I get invited? I'm like, yeah, well, it's awesome.
I don't belong here.
I don't belong here. Act rich. Have rich thoughts. Have rich thoughts.
Yeah. Just think money.
But this group of people, the most boring... I mean, we got out early. We left early. I made an excuse that, you know, I was like, oh, I gotta get up really early, which really wasn't an excuse. I did have to get up early, but I used it in a way I would never use it before. And you know, some of the people were really cool, but collectively, there was such an apathy. Like, some of the guys put on the game and just looked at the game.
Yeah.
And like the girls were like separated from the guys, and I've seen a lot of this happen.
Like, oh my God.
And it's almost this weird thing, like people don't want to know each other. It's like they don't know how to connect. They don't really want to talk.
Which is silly, because like when you have that kind of money, like capital only grows when you know more people. Like it's way more connections. Like that's the one thing I figured out when I came to LA. It's like, this is a town full of incredibly dry people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I go to these like mixer things that are for like young people trying to break into the film industry and, you know, television and whatnot. And you go and they're all like, it's all like, it's an industry based on like legacy and like last names. Like my dad did this with this person, so I can afford to work for free and I can afford to do this. And you go in and like, it's just the most boring people. And that's the people that are running the industry. It's like, these are the people you need on your side, but I can't stand to talk to them for more than 5 minutes at a time.
Really?
Yeah.
And I'm trying, and I'm really trying. It's just like, I'm telling jokes, I'm being funny, and it's just like,
no.
You know, and then you swap the business cards. Like, I'm just gonna, I have so many now. It's like, it's just trade them like Pokemon cards. Like, they're not worth anything.
No, I know. You kind of get wore out by that. That's why I always think of like, you know, organic relationships. I just believe God has timing to things. And when you're just loving people and being available, you'll meet the right people in the right time. And it'll work, because you can run yourself ragged trying to be like, okay, I'm marketing girl and I'm going to get my name out. And do you need an actress or a comedian?
Yeah.
Do you need somebody that can really make you the wow factor come to life?
Yeah.
Hire Kara. You know, it's just, it does. They're inundated. They don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, I can cry on cue. They don't give a shit. So, but I just think it's just, when I start making my priority more people and just really opening myself up to meeting tons of people, then usually those business connections kind of fall into place more naturally. But this party was like, they had the money, they had the setup, everybody was good looking, and by all intents and purposes,
it was money good looking though.
Yeah,
I liked it the way your wallet looks. It looks great.
Well, no, I mean, these guys were looking good and stuff, but it was just one of these like, conversation was not good. Nobody cared. Nobody asked Sarah and I any questions.
Wow.
Like, nobody asked us any questions.
She's very tall, too. She's very noticeable.
Oh, I know.
And she's very pretty as well. It seems like they would just be gravitating
towards
her.
That's what I thought. And I thought, you know, I'm not, like, freaking chopped liver either. You know, I can...
No.
I can bring some heat here. You know, I can...
Kara can. I've seen it.
That's debatable, but...
Whatever! What is with this make me look like the ugly girl bullshit?
Hey, you're in radio, so...
No. Anyway, so... Yeah. But no, I have a comedy show tonight in San Diego. It's at a place called U31.
Is that tonight?
It is tonight,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be there tonight, free before 7:30, if anybody gives a crap.
How far is San Diego? It's like
2 hours.
2 hours?
2 hours when there's no traffic.
Oh, God. I thought it was closer than that.
I think it's going to be good. I'm really, really excited. Famous Byron Bowers. Very, very funny. Did you see Byron Bowers? He was in...
I did.
Was
it the Finnish short story? That's right. Okay. I didn't want to say the wrong one.
Yeah. But he's really, really funny, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He did great.
He's funny. Yeah. So we'll be there tonight, free before 7:30. And so I will be performing live.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so it's not...
Well, I hope to videotape it, because I'd like to see
it. Yeah, what do you have prepared? Anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've done 52 minutes of straight stand-up before.
You've done 52?
Really?
52 minutes was paid for a gig.
Wow.
This was a little while back. But no, and, you know, constantly rotating material. So.
I can talk for 52 minutes, but no,
yeah,
about
do you do
seven of it would be
too?
Good. Yeah, I've done it on and off, like in Austin. Since I've gone here, like, my friend is kind of making his debut. Let me... Cruz Thomas, actually. I'll plug his name
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, he's very funny.
Cruz Thomas, the funniest man I know. He will be at the Downtown Comedy Club.
Oh, cool. I love that
Friday
place.
Night. Go see him. Go
what
buy
time?
Drinks. He'll be there, I guess, 7:30?
Okay. I'll be there.
Yeah, so you should go. And
It's a good place.
I've never been there. I'm looking forward to it. It's right down the place, right down the street from where we live.
Oh,
so
cool.
So that's great. But, yeah, I've done it on and off, and, like, I've done a lot of, like different, like trying out different things. A lot of it, like, just bombs. Like, I did my first stand up when I was in Australia. I actually, like, studied abroad in Australia. It's like, I know no one here. Mm-hmm. It's complete anonymity. So mm-hmm. I just went and started doing stand up and, like, it just didn't fly.
Really?
Like, I mean, just cultural differences. Like, you make jokes, like, yeah, you make a Taco Bell joke. Like, that's great. That's great, mate. We don't have Taco Bell, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah, but I like your duck thing.
But oh, the duck. That's actually part of my website. Can I plug my website?
Yes,
that would be great.
Sure.
Shameless plugging, alexlaprete.com. It's just full of absurd little things. It's up and it's functional. I'm still doing a little things to it. But like,
no, you guys, these don't know him. He's funny. He's quirky. He's accessible. He's got a lot of fun projects coming up. And, you know, I think you're going to do great out here. Spell your last free name.
My last freaking name. My first name is Alex, which is pretty simple. Last name, Luprete. It's Laprete.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great story behind it, but I won't bore you with it, so.
That's awesome. He's wearing a Domino's jacket, people.
Delivering pizzas.
He's
all
great.
All day.
There you
tonight,
go.
San Diego, U31. Be free before 7:30.
I would love,
7:30.
I might go.
Please do. If you guys can make it.
That's a long drive, you know, there and back just to do a show, huh?
It's a gig.
You'll have to drive back late, huh?
Yeah, that's what I want to do, though. You know, I'm like, this is what I'm good at.
No, I didn't say don't do it.
It's not like I'm going to play a freaking bridge game with, like, old people and just couldn't find people in L.A.
I just don't know that I would do it.
You know, it's a gig.
Yeah, it's a gig.
She was making a money sign for people who weren't.
Well, we'll see. But, you know, my point is...
Okay, what's your point?
My point is that amazing, so come see me.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're a lot of fun. And all the best to you, you know, with the screenplay so, I mean, are you making films as well? Or just,
I'm pretty much just a writer. I directed a film a long time ago. It's god awful. I don't even want to know that it exists. It was kind of a bunch of young kids making it. And that's where I figured out that I'm a writer, not a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a filmmaker roommate who does great things, amazing filmmaker. You should look him up, Polaris Banks.
He's cool.
He's a great, awesome, funny, tall, handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you should look him up. He does a lot of great things. He's done commercials, all kinds of stuff. So.
Sounds cool.
But he's great. You guys stay tuned because we'll have him back on when his project launched. So
that would be
check
awesome.
It out.
I hope we'll cross our fingers that it's actually going to work.
It will. It will.
Okay.
I think it's going to work for you.
Yeah, and good luck to you and stay away from the porn industry.
Yeah,
it's not for you.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
There you go.
Kira, thank you so much, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
Bye, Sam.
Listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.